Welcome back, everyone. This is the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder and president of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how you doing today?
It's a curious thing. I recall that we have promised our listeners that we will spend some time on helping them, perhaps, teach their children to not end up as poisoned as we are, as my generation is, and perhaps we could save them some pain. I guess, in plain words, see if we can teach our children to act less stupid than we did.
Well, that sounds like a good plan. And we had found actually an interesting page on the internet that talked about the top 20 things that are more dangerous to children than the lead paint in Mattel toys. Because a few years ago, there was this massive outrage when they discovered that these toys commissioned by Mattel, made in China, had lead in the paint. And of course, lead is not a good thing.
Well, what should be said is lead paints are made with lead because they're the prettiest. You know, lead paints cover better than anything else. That's why our houses, up until, I think, 1971, were painted with lead paints.
Yep.
Because they are great paints.
So, I'm kind of curious now, is if you painted your house in with lead paint and you didn't eat the paint, would you know? Is that a toxic environment?
It doesn't gas off. The only danger.
Gas off?
No. Okay. The only danger you have, indeed, is by rubbing it, you know, touching it, getting it absorbed through the skin, or causing it to, evaporate by abrasion. I mean, you'd have to put a sandpaper to it to bring it into the air so you could inhale it.
Right.
So, but here's an interesting point I would like to make, and that's this. When doctors, or scientists, I should say, were testing the effect of heavy metal poisoning on people, here's what they found. If you administer a dose that kills 1 in 100 of mercury and combine it with a dose that kills 1 in 100 of lead, the death rate isn't 2. The death rate is 100.
Mm. So the combination of different toxins doesn't just have kind of an additional effect. It has a...
Exponential. Geometric.
Or total.
Yeah, exponential is the good word for it, and the exponent is huge. Really.
Right.
And this is the big issue, is that when we talk about the top 20 poisons, it's not that it would be a big deal if one of those poisons showed up in your life and did a little bit of trouble. It's when 14 or 15 of them are in your life. Now the situation is completely different.
Right.
And unfortunately, the scientists and the pharma and all of that have been insisting on using the idiotic, I call it, reductionist thinking model. They say, well, we need to only test one thing.
Right. So we'll test lead, or we'll test mercury, or we'll test something else.
Yeah, they tested in isolation. This reminds me of a great example, which is the American football. You know, if you wanted to test a new quarterback, you would put him in a game. And if you were using the pharmaceutical method of testing, you would not have any of the other players cooperate. No receivers, no defensemen, or whatever you call them, blockers. Nothing, right?
Linemen.
Nothing. Just the quarterback. Well, does that seem to be a little idiotic?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when you add a different quarterback into the game, you improve the game odds marginally, one way or the other. A little better or a little worse. But that's not what the doctors want. The doctors want us to answer as if the alternative medicine or its opposite, the poisoning of the nation, were a game that could be tested in isolation, the same way as you could test a tennis player or a skier. You know, you can test a tennis player one against the other, and one is better, or one can serve at a higher speed, or one can run farther to catch the line ball or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's not how your body works. Your body is more like the football and less like the skiing or tennis.
Huh. Right. So, okay, so let's get into our list. We're not sure how long it's going to take us to go through these 20 items. But I thought what we would do is start with number 20 and work our way up to number 1, because isn't that what they do in the Billboard countdowns? And
right, yeah. So assuming that you have taken a lead dosage that will kill 1 in 1,000, not 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000, right? We're going to start combining with stuff. And by the time we get to the top, we'll find out if you already should have autism or rheumatoid arthritis, or fibromyalgia, or any one of the 50 different illnesses that doctors identify as chronic inflammatory disease, which we identify as caused by industrial toxin load.
Okay, so we're going to start with number 20 on our list. Here we go. Shampoo and bath products. So I guess the first thing to say is in North America, and I would say Europe, pretty much everybody shampoos every day, and they
bathe often.
Bathe their shower once or twice. I think probably in the summertime and in the hotter climates, it would be two or three times a day.
Right.
So it's kind of a scary one to have in terms of you put this on your skin, and of course our skin is a major absorbing organ.
Yes, the biggest organ of the body, just in case.
Yeah, and it absorbs whatever you put on it. And if you don't believe me, just get a little moisturizing cream or something, stick it on any part of your body, and gee, it's gone, and it didn't, like, evaporate.
Right, or if you really don't believe me, break open a clove of garlic and rub it on your feet, on the soles of your feet. And I promise you that within 5 minutes, you'll be tasting garlic in your mouth.
There you go.
No joking.
Oh, and let's just, because we love the medical establishment, if the medical establishment did not believe that you absorb things through your skin, they wouldn't prescribe things like the patch.
Right, yeah, like the scopolamine patch or the gravol behind your ear or that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I think we can safely assume that if you stick it on your skin, it goes into your body.
Well, let me give you the example. When you rub something on the outside of your cheek, it's defined as a cosmetic, and it's supposed to be unregulated, anything goes. And when you put it on the inside of your cheek, it becomes a medicine, and all of a sudden it's regulated like crazy.
Yeah.
I am so disappointed with the idiocy of our governments. I mean, what have we allowed to grow under our hands?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm just so hoping that one of these days we'll wake up and we'll burn everything other than the Ten Commandments and start over.
Yeah.
But anyway, so sorry, Scott, to interrupt one more time. Shampoo and bath products. I know this list was oriented toward children, but I want to add to it makeup.
Okay. Shampoo, makeup, and bath products. And virtually all popular shampoo and bath products sold on the market contain cancer-causing chemicals. The ingredients read like a top 40 list of toxic chemicals, and none of them have ever been tested or approved for use on humans. And they're simply ignored because the FDA astonishingly believes that skin won't absorb chemicals, and we've already proven that's not the case. So,
and so, interestingly, one of these, or some of these, are called parabens. Methyl paraben, ethyl paraben, propyl paraben, that sort of chemical. And they are used as stabilizers and protectors of oily substances. What you need is you need to essentially prevent the growth of bacteria. And you need to use something that is resembles the embalming fluid that you need to mix into the product so that the product stays dead.
Right.
Doesn't spoil, right? So that's in the cosmetics. The favorite of mine is the foaming agent, sodium lauryl sulfate, right? SLS. And that's a really frustrating situation because what's fun is shampooing with something that won't foam.
Right. Although, where did that come from, that shampooing should foam, right? Or your toothpaste should foam?
It feels nice under the hand.
Yeah.
But here's the funny thing. You know, the product line that we sell called Miracle 2, the foaming agent in it is something very similar to sodium lauryl sulfate. But the manufacturer insists that it is not the same. And the evidence would suggest the same because people have been healing their cancers with it.
Wow.
So apparently there is a way to have a highly foaming agent and have a very foaming shampoo. But I don't know what exactly the trick is, because when I read the ingredient on the Miracle 2, it says sodium lauryl by something. You know, it's like two letters different. And because FDA doesn't regulate cosmetics, the manufacturer is not forced to disclose. And they're refusing to disclose because they don't want their competition to figure out what they're doing. So I cannot really tell you exactly how it is different. I only know that it is different and it behaves differently. And we have people recovering from their cancers using these Miracle 2 products and getting cancers using the toxic industrial products. So here's my pitch. Try the Miracle 2. I washed my hair with it a good number of times. It's actually quite intense. It really strips the oils very effectively. So it might be a little too much for the dry skin blonde, strawberry blonde Swedish types. But it works wonders on the more oilier, more olive skin Mediterranean type of things, people.
Well, and I've been using it for quite a while as well, and I find that I just put a very small amount in, clean, and I don't notice anything. I don't know that I'm particularly oily, and certainly not particularly dry.
So you don't find it drying, huh? That's good.
No.
Well, the only thing I know it does, it strips out artificial coloring from the hair. So it's better with children than with older, vain folks who are coloring their hair. Which they shouldn't be doing, because that's a guaranteed poison on your body.
Well, I was going to say, if you're coloring your hair, should we add that to the shampoo list?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, get used.
So one of the questions that people have to ask themselves is, am I going to age gracefully and live a healthy, vibrant life, or am I going to deliberately add toxins to my body, which of course is going to, even though I may look better on the outside, I'm going to be a lot worse on the inside. And then when I'm in my 80s, I'll be in a wheelchair.
Yes. Yeah, well put. I guess what you're doing is you're competing. I suspect that makeup is a feature of competition, right? Because when you're having to compete with others for looks, you're needing to make yourself look better. And so now that 90% of people wear makeup, you need to just out-makeup the makeupers.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you do it? I mean, I still find it astounding. I'm looking at a television show, and there are two announcers, a man and a woman. The man has his fine graying hair and his wrinkles and not a spot of makeup on him that I could see. And the gal is all painted up with eye makeup and big eyelashes and curls and the colorful clothes and, you know, like just a ton of stuff on her. And I'm thinking, how did we get here?
Well, it's interesting with HD TV now, because I was thinking actually the opposite. I was watching CNN and Anderson Cooper 360 was on.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, you know, does he have, you know how they'll put these plastic masks over so you look like somebody else?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I was wondering if they'd done that to him, right?
Oh, he was wearing a cake on makeup?
Oh, he just did not look real to me at all.
Uh-huh. Right? Well, he probably was made up, and who knows, maybe he was, having some skin blemish issues. I don't know him. I don't know his health. I can only see that his hair is graying quickly, so he certainly must be suffering from some mineral deficits. But who am I to talk? My hair is grayed out, too.
Well, and that's what happens when you get over 35.
Yes, I got that beat by a couple decades, yes.
Yeah, so it's just part of life, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, no, we shouldn't have to accept it, you know? Like, it's unfortunate, you know, like, I'm there. I keep saying, well, maybe it was my heavy metal poisoning in my 20s that set me off. You know, 20 years back, and it's hard for me to compete with that now. But the truth is, if I knew all the answers, I'd probably fix myself and made myself look like 35 again.
There you go.
I'm working on getting all the answers, but it's pretty stressful working in an office trying to keep an online business going with all that competition.
Right. And you don't know how much, well, I mean, we've had everything, all the things that we've done have brought us to this point, but, you know, there's very, very few people that I'm aware of who are like 90 with the same color hair they had when they were 19.
True.
Unless they were prematurely
gray. Yeah, Irish people seem to have a genetic streak that has them graying in their 20s.
Mm-hmm. So, and the point is that a symptom of toxicity and everything else? Is it a natural way our body functions? I guess if you said, well, you know, if you don't look the same way you did as you were 19, obviously you've decayed.
Yes.
I'm not sure that that's 100% true.
I am not decided on that one, but I believe that the goal should be optimal function. And, healthy function looks young and vibrant and unhealthy, yeah. You know, like the opposite of healthy is visible. So I just have to accept the fact that I'm not perfect.
Right. Well, and you reminded me of the guy, I think he's 90, who is like an iron marathon something or other, and he's been on the front page of a lot of these men's health magazines, and he's like totally ripped.
Right? Yes, you know, yes.
Like, oh my God, I wish at 15 my abs looked like this guy's abs did at 90, right?
Yes.
And, but his hair looks gray.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to keep it all together.
All right. Okay, so number 20 on our top 20 list, the things that if you're concerned about lead in your kids' toys, you should be more concerned about what you're putting on their hair, in their hair, and on their body when you're bathing them.
Right, right.
And you're not. And,
okay.
Is there a solution? Yeah, look at the miracle too. Dude. So what's number 9?
No, hold on. I can't let you
there's
know
more?
That. No, there's more. And here it's this. Just maybe less than a month ago, I watched on the Canadian CBC Marketplace an expose of green personal care products. Green shampoos, green toiletries, green this, green that. Mm. And they took the pains of buying the two products. And they were green labels and natural on the label and this and that. And so they are comparing them side by side. And there is a difference in price. There's a 30% premium on the green product or the natural product.
Yeah, of course.
And then they went under the hood. Okay, where is the difference? There was a little tweak. Like, for instance, the fragrance, instead of being artificial vanilla, was a vanilla bean. And I'm making this up. Or instead of nothing, there was an oil of cucumber, you know? And that made the difference from regular to natural. But it was every bit as toxic. It was like nothing in there that would actually warrant the 30% premium or that would justify that product to actually deserve the label natural or green.
Wow.
So do not, please do not go into a drugstore looking for a healthy or ecological product. If it has a major brand label on it, it's not going to be good. I can guarantee that.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
So now I can let you go into number 19.
All right. So number 19.
You know what?
What?
We should skip that and do number 18 because it connects.
You know, I did actually do that. Until you stopped me, I was going to read number 18, and then I realized I had popped up one too many. Okay, so we're going to switch number 18 and number 19 around. So instead of doing number 19, we're going to do number 18 first. And that is the very, very popular dryer sheets. You want to dry your clothes, and you want them to smell nice and everything else, you get these sheets, throw them in, and, of course, it just puts all this magnificent fragrance on all your clothes and sheets that you sleep in and wear all day.
Yeah. My wife and I take walks oftentimes. And as we're walking through the neighborhoods, all of a sudden we walk past a dryer vent that's running. Poof! All of a sudden you're surrounded with this glorious smell of industrial lilac. Mm. Or
yummy.
Or the fake magnolia. Or, you know, the tropical blend, or the what I'm getting at is that these clouds, these tons of the conversation she and I'd had, where, you know, there must be tons and tons of these volatile organic compounds that are used as fragrances, made, and once they're made, they are there. And then they're put into circulation. And then we release them into the air, pretending that that's just a little bit of fragrance. But what does it do to the planet, I'm thinking?
Yeah. Particularly when you look at, say, New York or Los Angeles, where you've got like 20 or 30 million people.
Yes.
And the vast majority of them, if not all of them, are doing that exact thing.
Right.
That's not a minimal impact.
Right. So let's see this. So you're putting a fragrance on. You can put it on in the form of a cosmetic or a cologne or something like that, or scented shampoo. Or now you're going to imbue your clothing with it. So now you're going to put it on, and you're going to have it in contact with your skin. Yeah, we know that your skin doesn't really, is not permeable anyway, right?
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So it doesn't matter if it's on your skin and
right.
Not going to be absorbed.
And, right. Good. And then of course, as it's wafting off your clothing, you're inhaling it, right? Mm. And if you're locked up in a classroom with another 20 classmates, prisoners, you're poisoning each other with your industrially dried clothes. Oy, oy, oy.
Oh yeah. And if you're dating somebody or married and you want to give them a hug.
Yeah, you bring it home. I tell you, I've hugged people off and on, or even just shaken hands, and you bring it home, and the partner says, "What have you been doing?" Who are you seeing?
Right.
Because you bring it home and it's... Oh, anyway, the point is that these volatile organic compounds are not benevolent. They are poisons. They are artificial. I mean, if you want to smell nice, why don't you use some essential oils? You know, like some tea tree oil, eucalyptus and lavender or something like that. Natural.
All you have to do is get a washcloth, put a few drops on it, throw it in, and it does the same thing, right?
Absolutely. Now, we don't really sell those essential oils. We don't want to compete in every possible category, but I would highly recommend switching from nothing to something.
I was going to say, one of the things that I use in my laundry are these balls. I have two balls, and they've kind of got spikes on it.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is they bounce around in the dryer and
fluff.
They kind of fluff it up a bit, right? And also, because they bounce around and move everything from inside, it adds a little more air space, so everything dries faster.
Yes.
And then normally what I do is, after about 20-odd minutes, I've got most of it, it's like mostly dry, like 80% dry.
Yeah.
Then I take it out and I just hang it.
Yes.
I've like for overnight, I'll have in my room a bunch of stuff on hangers and socks hanging on my laundry basket by the vent, and in the morning then I just take everything, put it away. So
yeah.
I don't, you know.
Waste as much energy as you otherwise would have.
Right, and I'm in a location where, you know, where I live, I could put a line outside.
Uh-huh.
However, it rains 80% of the time. So
cannot do that.
Can't do that. If I was in Arizona, I'd be delighted. I'd just like stick it outside. And,
yes.
You know,
absolutely. Did we talk in our previous talk about the government regulations, how it's changing the wash machines and dryers with the new energy regulations?
I seem to recall that it's less water and that sort of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm just all of a sudden not remembering. I know that I wrote a blog entry about it and posted it on the Health News blog at Life Enthusiast. But,
well, let's just do a quick summary of what are these regulations.
Over the last 15 years, Consumer Reports did testing of wash machines and dryers, and they're finding that the quality of them is going downhill. And the main reason they're going downhill is because of regulation. So the government regulation forces less water use and less electricity use. And so they're having to change the design, but the designs are less effective. They are so bad that you can no longer use powdered detergent in these wash machines. You have to use liquid detergents because the powder don't dissolve fast enough. And it's not dissolving oils. It'll wash things out like sweat, but it will not wash things such as the ring around the collar on the shirt or body oils, and so your laundry is actually not coming out clean. It comes out smelly. So the remedies, of course, were, well, go get yourself an old wash machine and maintain it and never sell it. Or my solution was, well, get the Miracle 2 laundry balls because they will improve the water surface tension in such a way that you will not be needing as much soap to actually wash things out.
Right.
And, of course, if you use the Miracle 2 soap on the shirt collars or any oil stains, they successfully come out. Guaranteed.
Okay, I didn't know that. I'm going to try that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get that kind of brown round?
If you wear ties especially, it's just really hard to maintain. And yet, one drop of the green Miracle 2 soap massaged into the collar and just toss the laundry in. It just works beautifully.
Wow.
Anyway, so we do not want the fragrances, the artificial fragrances in the air. The reason is that it actually clogs your liver. And the corollary of this, if you know somebody, or if it's your own case, and you're hypersensitive to fragrances, and I know people like that, if somebody with a cologne comes into the room, they have to leave. Instant headache. Mm-hmm. Or can't even go to movies because, sure enough, somebody 2-3 rows over is going to show up with, their favorite Ralph Lauren or Chanel or whatever it is that they put on that they want, and they just don't do just a little bit, they do a whole bunch. So it's sort of like
nobody's subtle anymore, are they?
It seems to me as if you brought into a dark room party a lighthouse, yeah. I mean, to me it's an olfactory lighthouse. It's like boom, boom. You with every breath you take, it's this whack of strong fragrance.
Right. And so, the point is that there are alternatives.
Well, number one is washing, so your body doesn't smell so much. And number two, if your armpits or feet or whatever smell, you have bad body odor. The reason you have that is because your lymphatic system is full of crap.
So detox.
Absolutely detox. Cool. Detox your gut, detox your liver, detox your lymphatics. That is the true answer to dealing with body odor.
But the problem with that is that it takes a little bit of work, because all I got to do is go swoosh, swoosh, and I've got this fragrance masking my bad BO.
Yes. True. But we were talking about putting the hair color on, pretending that everything's okay, or makeup on, pretending everything's okay. Well, here's another one. Your body's giving you the flag up the pole that says you're toxic. And instead of dealing with it, you're just covering up. Guess what's going to happen towards your older years?
That's right. So you can have short-term gain for long-term pain, or maybe some short-term pain for long-term gain.
Yes.
Get over the fact that maybe you have some gray hair. Get over the fact that
you may not eat well.
You have to eat well. That's right.
Or do sauna, or sweating, or some ways of detoxing your body.
And maybe instead of spending $5 on a Big Mac, you spend $5 on a Miracle 2 shampoo and cleaner, and use that instead.
Yes, that would be nice. So don't teach your children that clean laundry needs to smell like those industrial volatile organic compounds. Oh, and let me add another one to it, which is these room fresheners.
That's actually further down the list.
Okay. We'll get there.
And we've run out of time, Martin, so we've got through two of our 20, so it's going to take us a little while to get through all these. But I think it's really important, because these are all things that are, in our society, are considered essential and normal, and no one thinks about them in terms of
consequence.
One more consequence, one more stress on our bodies that cause us to not live as vibrant and as healthy as we want.
Exactly right. So yes, Scott, this is wonderful. Thank you for guiding us on this romp through toxic swamps. And people, if you want some advice or check out what you're doing and why you're doing it, look it up at www.life-enthusiast.com or call us at 1-866-543-3388. We'll answer your questions. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin and Scott, restoring vitality to you and to the planet.